This podcast is a proud member of the Lamb Podcasting Network. Find the network at largeassmovieblogs.com.
Welcome to the Really Awful Movies Podcast, a celebration of low-budget cinema.
There's another apocalyptical prediction about to come true. Winds of death sweep across the world, and whole continents will be cast adrift in an ocean of blood.
Hi, I'm Chris, and along with Jeff, we're bringing you the very best and worst of horror, sci-fi, action, exploitation, kung fu, and women in prison movies from the 1970s to today. Be sure and check out reallyawfulmovies.com for reviews, interviews, lists, and terrific movie giveaways. From our downtown Toronto studios, here's episode 32, Disgusting Gore.
Gore. For many, the raison d'etre of the horror genre. We like gore. There are people out there, that's the only reason they watch horror movies, is to see the gore. These people are affectionately known as gore hounds. Mm-hmm. I'm a gore hound. Although, to be honest with you, I don't need to see it in every single horror film I see. I mean, we discuss this with Mike Mayo, we discuss this amongst ourselves. Not every effective horror movie needs to have gore. Some movies are incredibly effective without a drop of blood.
Yeah.
Other movies, you know, the gore sort of enhances a movie. Some movies, they're only worth seeing because of gore. But I mean,
yeah, and some directors are known for specific types of gore.
Exactly.
Like Fulci and his eye. Mm-hmm. And I remember, I guess, at the Bloor Cinema, which is in Toronto, like a repertory, independent, sort of quasi-groundhouse theater, they showed, I guess, that there's a protracted eyeball gouging with a shard of glass, and it comes toward the viewer. And I can't remember the title of the film. I think it was Zombie.
Was the eye and the splinter.
The splinter, and it shows from the perspective of the person getting, their eyeball eviscerated. And the guy there from one of the local newspapers, and I must have been a young kid at the time, like, you know, 18, 19, he said, you know, this is one of the greatest eye gouging scenes in cinematic history, which I thought was hilarious. Like, what a weird distinction. Like, not the most touching scene or the most memorable line, you know, like Play It Sam or something from Casablanca. This is like
Play It Again Sam.
Play It Sam.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, exactly.
I fell
into the trap, and I thought, this is great. This is the stuff I'd rather see. I don't want to see, you know, I don't give a darn Scarlet or whatever from Gone with the Wind. I want to see the greatest eye gouging in cinema history. Mm-hmm. And I remember also, with Dr. Butcher MD, where the cannibals descend on, you know, the explorers, and they just rip their guts right out of their bodies, and they're feeding on their viscera.
But
that's disgusting. Yeah, yep. I mean, when entrails emerge, that's a point of demarcation from the typical, like, take a spear and stuff it through somebody, or the typical hatchet machete to the between the eyes or in the face. That's the standard horror piking or maiming, but the chomping on the viscera, that's pretty, yeah, that's entering into graduate school territory.
And zombies got quite a bit of that as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's interesting because whenever they're doing that, I mean, they're basically just eating, you know, they go to the local butcher and they get, like, you know, livers and intestines, whatever, and then they get these poor extras to eat this raw meat and stuff. There's something so disgusting about it. But I was going to say, I mean, it's funny too because, you know, when I was a child, I mean, I've discussed this before, I was a late bloomer to horror. But at the same time, I mean, I remember going to the local convenience store, the 7-Eleven, and I always, like, see Fangoria up there on the shelf. And the great thing about Fangoria, I mean, they were gores in the title, the covers cannot be more lurid. They would always show the most gory scenes in movies. Now, of course, this is not endearing to the genre anymore, so because I was already, you know, afraid. But, I mean, you know, when I finally started watching horror, and I start out with, you know, your standards, you know, your Halloweens and your Friday 13th. And okay, so you see Friday 13th, and you see a movie where somebody gets their throat slit, right?
Yeah, or a couple that's, you know, having sex in a bunk, you know, they get speared right through the through the bed.
And this is the, you know, I mean, the original, this is a great Tom Savini, and there's just a bit of blood. But then you see a movie like, for example, like Dario Argento's Tenebrae, where an arm gets sliced off, and it's just this arterial spray that goes on and on and on and on. And I remember, like, you know, from the, speaking of arterial sprays, it's not a horror film, but the Lone Wolf and Cub series. I mean, again, you know, like, somebody gets their neck their head lopped off and sprays of gore. Now, there are varying degrees of gore. Some people say, well, that's not gore, it's just blood, right? Fulci is gore, that's the inside of the body, right? But the reality of the matter is that whether we like it or not, gore is a very integral part of the horror watching experience. Now, not every film needs to have gore to be effective, but we're going to talk about some of those movies that are super gory, and some of the ones that really sort of... I gotta say, I've got a cast iron stomach nowadays when it comes to gore.
Yeah, I guess it really depends on one's affinity and empathy with the protagonist as well. Mm-hmm. And protracted scenes of torture are really tough to watch with anyone, and you become, again, indifferent to various nobodies, nubile nobodies being speared in the wilderness, but when you have a vested interest in someone's character and they're being abused, it doesn't even have to be gore, but we're thinking of the French New Wave of horror, and the likes of... I forget the title of the one with the pregnancy there. Inside, and also Martyrs obviously, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, these are two of the goriest films I've ever seen. Inside is relentless from the first frame to the last frame, and it is just bloody, gory, etc. And I guess the French title is L'Intérieur, but has to deal with it. Deals with a pregnant woman who is beset upon by another woman who's basically wants to remove the baby from the womb using disgusting. Every implement.
And that just adds another element of sympathy, obviously, because if you're on public transit, everyone's keen to give their seat to somebody pregnant, and a woman generally, we're supposed to protect them. It may sound sexist now, but really, we're meant to give our lives in defense of someone who's less capable of handling themselves. And this thing really, that was really tough to watch. Mm.
But I would say, the what's the word in that you like to use, in Italian or in Latin, like the exemplar of gore?
The ne plus ultra.
Okay, the ne plus ultra is Martyrs.
Martyrs. Yeah.
For those of you that have not seen Martyrs, if you want to test the boundaries of your ability to, take gore, you got to run Martyrs.
And if you're unfazed by it, then check yourself into the nearest clinic and have yourself examined by a psychiatrist.
Right.
Really... This should be the determining factor between lack of empathy, psychopathy, and someone who's at least got a little bit of.
Yeah, no, because as a gore hound, as somebody who has basically a cast iron stomach, and it takes a lot for me to get to really get to my skin. I remember watching Martyrs for the first time, and it's funny because it was my first time and it was my last time. I love this movie. I think it's one of the most incredibly artful, poetic, transcendent horror movies ever made. I can't ever see it again. It's beyond gory. It's just brutal. There's so many scenes of...
just degradation.
Degradation and beating and this and that. And it's unbelievable. That's the thing. I can't really give you, a real sort of, scene by scene, because I've only seen that one time. And all I can tell you is that the effect it had on me. But as I was watching it, for the first time in a dozen years, I literally felt like I had to press stop. I couldn't take it anymore,
And everyone's familiar with, the internecine mob battles and the likes of The Sopranos and whatnot, where they're trying to exact information out of some guy, and the guy's sitting there and he's tied up, and the goon will come in and beat them up and say, hey, okay, tell me the combination to whatever, or tell me, where I can find this, tell me who shot whom, blah, blah, blah. In this one, there's this repeated beatings of the protagonist, it's not even gore per se, but this goon comes down into this basement where this poor woman is being kept and just beats her mercilessly day after day after day, and it's really, really, really tough to watch.
Right. However, the one thing about Martyrs and the reason why, and then this is when people look at me and go, oh, you're fucked up, because it's a transcendently beautiful movie, because the whole point of Martyrs is that you reach a certain, you become a martyr, you reach a certain pain threshold where you go beyond whatever inhumane torture is being set upon you, and you become a martyr, and then the movie ends up these characters become, they reach a spiritual level of nirvana through their pain and through their gore, and it's completely it's just gorgeous. Yeah. But, the experience itself is so harrowing that I don't know if I can... I cannot recommend it more highly, but I can't see it again. Another one for me is Cutting Moments. Cutting Moments. It's a short film by Douglas Buck. Extremely mundane suburban life about a woman, family, husband, doesn't take to take much interest in her. He'd rather watch sports on TV. And the woman is sort of like, you know, she's got a kid and whatever. And there's, this film, I mean, again, it's just this cumulative effect of watching a woman slowly unravel. And then when she ends up unraveling, she does some self-harm to herself. And again, there's something about watching somebody committing these atrocious acts to themselves.
Self-flagellation, which is tied to religion as well. Exactly. You get into a higher state.
So, I mean, Cutting Moments is a short film, as I said before. It's about 28 minutes by Douglas Buck. But, I mean, again, gore, but not gore for the, just for the gratuitousness of it all. But it's like a gut punch. It just makes it so much more effective. Speaking of, as you said before, the religion, I've never seen The Passion of the Christ. Have you?
No, I have not.
Because I've heard that it's pretty much one of the most glorious films ever made.
Yeah, lots of, flays per minute.
Yeah.
it's a feast of flays.
Mm-hmm. Feast of flays.
Yeah. I couldn't, yeah. I
don't, yeah,
I,
yeah.
And again, I'm not being Catholic. It wouldn't take on any extra resonance to me. Or maybe it would. Maybe that's something to check out. Although, obviously, we hold Melvin Gibson in much less esteem than we did several years ago with his violent anti-Semitic racist tirades.
But I guess going back to our original discussion about gore, Chris, in an earlier podcast you mentioned that teeth extraction is something that really
Mike Mayo discussed that Dustin Hoffman film where Marathon Man, where the guy's being tortured and that hammering out teeth. That is just brutal, and I guess there's certain in a Lloyd Kaufman trauma production, there was I wish I could remember the title. There was a member lopped off while the guy was at the urinal, and that was pretty savage as well.
Was that Terra Firma?
Yes, I believe it was.
Yeah.
And again, they went all out, as in inimitable trauma style, and they show the guy's bloody member, and the guy's at the urinal, gets it hacked off. They could have just done the off screen, the usual thing, which is just, that'll make you squeamish enough, anything to do with the anything below the belt, but that was really tough to watch as well. But eyeballs used to get me, but then I guess I crossed the threshold, and then the gouging with the demon/zombie talon in Demons. I forget the first or the second. There's a delicious, I think it's the first, there's an eyeball gouging in it. That doesn't faze me anymore, but I guess the genitalia and the teeth will really get to me.
Yeah, it's funny because, I mean, like I said, there's not a lot that gets to me. Like, I could see somebody being flayed alive, skinned alive, what have you. I mean,
Maybe antiviral as well, with just tons of needle shots. It just gets a little...
That's
needles I don't care for.
I don't know what it is about watching a syringe going into...
heroin and all that.
I can't take it. I cannot take it. I mean, even maybe just it's a childhood fear of needles, but, like, I can watch the most hideous movie ever where, like I said, like, for example, another great Fulci film, say Living Dead, where a guy is... literally vomiting his intestines out, like we say, puke your guts out.
It's
literally puke his guts out over and over. It was a guy, it was a girl, I can't remember, and I think it was a female. And then there's another scene where the same guy gets his head in vice, his eyeball pops out. Whatever, Fulci is the best. But I mean,
yeah, I remember that.
Just like a scene where an innocuous scene where a guy shoots up or something. That I'm flinching. I can't take it.
Yeah.
Even in Pulp Fiction with the whole adrenaline to the shot to the chest, that drove me crazy.
I'd rather take the adrenaline in the chest than the heroin. I'll still take that because you see the veins pulsating when the arm is wrapped up, and that's really tough.
Requiem for a Dream was one of those movies. That was one of those movies that, again, like, hard to watch. Amazing, brilliant film, but I mean, you watch the thing, you need to have a cleansing shower afterwards to watch like The Lion King or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and we should give props to, while we're at it here, Antiviral, because this is for those of you who haven't seen it. It got mixed reviews, but again, give credit where credit's due. Brandon Cronenberg, the son of David. Give him props. This is the guy's first feature, and the plot involves, I guess, super fans. Acquiring viruses
from celebrities,
which is a pretty neat premise. And but again, yeah, it's well worth checking out. And this is a dystopia where people want to be as close to their celebrity. Actually, it's not that much of a dystopia because it's happening now. Hell, look at, you know, the Kardashians' Instagram following with all that mundane crap. But that thing, just the, yeah, the blood extractions and just the constant needlework in that, not to mention purposely getting various viruses and injected from your favorite celebs and developing sores. That was really Cronenberg-esque. And like, yeah. David hasn't done any pure horror, but David, his son David, is a chip off the old block. Yeah, now Brandon, he's doing now, body horror.
He's out Cronenberging Cronenberg. I mean, the last real Cronenberg-esque movie. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love Eastern Promises. I love History of Violence.
Yeah, yeah.
I even like the movie about Jung and Freud. I know you didn't like that too much, but
no.
He hasn't made a real good body horror in a long time. And you wouldn't, but Brandon is, hopefully, I mean, he hasn't followed it up yet, but hopefully he's...
Well, I can't wait, and we'll help fund his next project if he's listening, you know, get in touch.
But speaking of Cronenberg, I mean, that's one thing we both really enjoy. We like body horror quite a bit,
yeah.
Don't we?
And regardless of whether it's, you know, a biohazard or something internally, and, you know, we just love biological horror. I've always, I think we're both, it's fair to say, hypochondriacs.
Yeah.
So, any like the slightest little pain, you just figure, you know, it's like Woody Allen-esque, from Crimes and Misdemeanors. Oh my God, I'm dying.
Yeah.
You know, it's all over for me. You know, I'm gonna say my, I'm gonna get my last will and testament in order. But yeah, there's something about biological horror that just trumps all other cares. Because if someone's chasing after you with a, you know, with a machete. You can run. But if you've got a virus, there's nowhere to go.
If your body's turning against you,
yeah.
You're becoming the Brundlefly, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, like
the fly, yeah. Incredible.
I mean, wow. I mean, there's not much, you know. And, giving credit where credit's due, I mean, David Cronenberg is the master of that, at body horror. So, ostensibly we're talking about gore, and... You know, are you familiar with the works of Herschel Gordon Lewis?
No.
Okay, so H.G. Lewis was basically the godfather of gore. He was the one that started out. It's funny because, I mean, Lewis, I mean, his movie Blood Feast was the first...
Horror movie.
Well, the first movie,
gore film.
Color film with gore. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny because... At that point, H.G. Lewis, I mean, when he had an idea, like, I want to make some money in the movie, right? Well, what can I do? What can I show? What's different, right? I mean, you know, pornography? Well, how about blood and guts? That's never been shown before. And it's funny because, I mean, I love Blood Feast. It's so amateurish. It's so, I mean, the blood cannot be more fake. It's red paint. But H.G. Lewis, I mean, you got to give the guy credit. I mean, every time you see, you know, some evisceration or body flayed or, you know, skull cleaved or what have you. You gotta give props to H.G. Lewis, Herschel Gordon Lewis. I mean, who went on to make other great films like The Gruesome Twosome, 2000 Maniacs, Call Me Blood Red, etc., etc., etc. But he said, you know, he knows Blood Feast is crap, and he goes, but you know what? It's like a Walt Whitman poem. It might be shit, but it was the first.
Yeah.
Apologies to your Walt Whitman fan. But yet again, I mean, that begs. I'm going to go right back to the original question, and that is, does a horror movie need gore to be effective?
No, not at all. But it will ratchet up the effectiveness of an already scary film.
Mm-hmm.
So
let's talk.
I was thinking about Repulsion, the Polanski movie. Not much gore, but incredibly sinister. And I would say the only black and white feature that's left me shaken afterwards. I saw it again in a repertory cinema.
I guess when you saw Psycho, you were too old to be shaken.
Psycho, yeah, its reputation preceded itself.
Yeah,
even that, with the shower scene is relatively tame by modern standards,
even though
it was an incredible technical marvel at the time.
Yeah.
And it's a creepy movie, nonetheless. I mean, you know, Norman Bates, you know, do you like birds? And he's a taxidermist, and he's a, you know, he dresses up as his, you know, this is mother, and that has been, it's been so influential with all these subsequent horror movies with people with mommy issues.
Yeah. No, like, but Repulsion with, it was Catherine
Deneuve. Yeah, lovely Catherine Deneuve.
And that's another thing that we can really, I mean, forget gore again. I mean, we're talking about gore, but let's forget gore. But I mean, that's another thing that, you know, really scares me is just like, not only did your body, you know, turn against you, but your mind turning against you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's what that was all about. It's a woman just left alone in her apartment going absolutely apeshit. And
I can relate.
So gore again, not essential, but a lot of fun. So I'm going to ask you another question now. What movie did you enjoy just for the sake of the gore? I mean, forget about the fact that it was a good movie or had some subtext or something. You know, what movie, like, you know,
Oh, well, Evil Dead, obviously, that's more your level of expertise, although yeah. we did go see the Evil Dead musical in Toronto, but both Evil Dead 1 and 2, it just seems like just gore for the sake of gore, which is almost reveling in it. It almost became cartoonish, but yet disgusting at the same time, and that's what really draws me to it. I like the combination. I don't want to have it be too skewed one way or the other, where it's too disgusting. I like to have a little comic element as well, and... That Evil Dead for sure.
Well, speaking of comedic elements, I mean the early Peter Jackson movies, be it Bad Taste or Dead Alive, aka
yeah, Dead Alive, yeah, that's incredible.
those movies were hilarious. Yeah, I mean, so over the top with the gore.
And it's great to laugh and be disgusted in equal measure, and then to have these feelings alternate. Mm-hmm. It just really adds to the horror experience. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have a little bit of humor, there's something that just leaves you cold afterward, I find. And the humor adds a little bit of, it's good to have a little bit of levity. It punctuates the gore a little more. Because, like Martyrs, film.
It's Serbian film, exactly.
Yeah,
it's an oppressive experience to watch these movies. There's no levity, there's no humor, whatever. However, these films...
They're pretty one note.
But these films are powerful for other reasons, right? But again, these are films that, we've seen... We pass on as far as you like horror here. Watch a Serbian film. Tell me what you think. But they're films that we cannot revisit over and over again. It's Human Centipede 2 is another one. I mean,
Human Centipede 2, Ishii the Killer.
Yes, and Mike is incredible.
The lips and the sewing together of the lips. Like that's just another thing. You just don't associate lips with that kind of the depredation and degradation. Mm-hmm. It's disgusting. They're full, they're erotic, it's a pleasure zone. Mm-hmm. It's not meant to be, shorn through with a needle. Yeah. It's disgusting, just vile.
For those unfamiliar with Takeshi Miike, he's a Korean filmmaker who's made, without a word of hyperbole, maybe 400 movies. They're not all, horror movies and or gore movies, but he's made some of the goriest movies ever made, including the one we're talking about right now, Ichi the Killer. Visitor Q is another one. Imprint, the guy is, again, if you want to test your limits, Miike is another one. The Asians do gore well sometimes. Yeah. I'm trying to think. I mean, so we have the early Jacksons. Those are great. The Italians. I mean, the Italians just really know how to revel in it.
But make it beautiful.
But because sugo is such a big part of the culture. You know what I mean? Like tomato sauce.
Yeah.
Right?
So it's Sunday gravy.
Sunday gravy, sugo, blood, whatever. It's all good.
Salsa di pomodoro.
There you go. So I guess if we're gonna come to any sort of conclusion here, it's that once again, filmmakers are painters, right? And they have palettes, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Gore is, one color.
It's one color. We can liken it to stand-up comedians' arsenal and deploying the F-bomb. And it can, if you punctuate a joke with a nice F-bomb, then it really can elevate, the premise or the punchline for a good stand-up routine, but overuse of it is no good.
Well,
overuse of the F-bomb is no good.
Well, then,
terrifying film is terrifying regardless of gore, and it can elevate it if it.
To continue that analogy, I mean, if you're just using the F-bomb over and over again, that's the extent of your humor. Then you're gonna be Andrew Dice Clay. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Very one note. You know what I mean? And even some of these filmmakers that we talked about, like your Miikes and your Jacksons and what have you. I mean, eventually they sort of went away from, Gore. Even Fulci, I mean, he sort of moved past the Gore fest eventually. So
Cronenberg as well.
What's that?
Cronenberg as well, although he alludes to it in, History of Violence, where you get that super gory death, that one where it just, that's Cronenberg right there in a nutshell.
Yeah.
And everyone has to love the iconic Scanners, which is just great. It's like Louis Del Grande, it's just like a cheesy sort of Canadian actor who's giving a lecture in this, classroom and it's very poorly attended, this talk, and you know, when his head blows up, that's just really fucking badass.
But that's the
badass
thing with scanners. I mean, to me, all scanners has become now is a GIF. Like, how many times you see that head blown
yeah,
up?
Yeah, yeah, sure.
I mean, there's so much more to scanners
or,
than
or
that.
Or a GIF or whatever. We still
GIF
have
or a GIF
God,
or whatever the hell.
We're not graphic designers.
There
like,
you go, yeah.
We like graphic things, but we're not graphic designers.
Very good.
But, yeah, like, who knows? But, yeah, it's almost, who knows whether in 20 years... that will be seen as quaint or you know, Fulci's eye gougings will be seen as, you know, passé, and mm-hmm. who knows how they're going to eviscerate the
and
human,
that's, that,
human
you know
body
what?
In
that's
the future.
Another thing, because, yeah, when the French New Wave of horror came out, I mean, like, it was, I'm like, wow, this is, like, as gory as anything I've ever seen. Well, you've got to always go a little bit further, right? Mm-hmm. So what's next? What's next? I mean, you know, there's, of course, we're not even touching on the underground filmmakers, like the August Undergrounds and so on and so forth, the ones that make pseudo-snuff films, because that's really not our...
No, not our forte.
Not our forte at all, but... yeah, again, I mean, gore.
Yeah, it all comes around, eh? Forte, vive la France, the French New Wave.
Vive Las Vegas.
I yeah.
don't know why I said that, but
yeah.
The French New
Wave. Yeah.
So, gore, one more time. I'm going to say that gore is good.
Gore is good.
Gore is, but again, you know, like, it's not this, it's not necessary. It's good if
it's
used.
It's good to have, yeah.
It's good to have, but again, it's not...
It's like a nice bottle of wine with your meal.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But, then, you know, at the same time, you don't need it to make an effective horror film. And we can go on and on and talk about some of our great, you know, our favorite horror films that didn't even have a drop of blood in it. But we're not. We'll save that for another podcast.
Yeah.
And
so, then, anyway. Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, you know, I'd be very interested in learning what some of our listeners... considered to be the goriest films they've ever seen. So if you feel like sharing, shoot us an email at
reallyawfulmovies@gmail.com and check out our site for reviews Monday, Wednesday, sometimes Thursday. And of course, more of this podcast too. Thanks for listening.
And
talk to you soon.
Take care.